Man, those last two almost got me crying. All right. Well, good morning. It's good to be back. Well, yesterday I taught about how God is our King and He is a righteous and just King. And He has always planned for us to have provision. And we looked at that specifically through leadership structures yesterday throughout the Bible. This morning we're going to change it up a little bit. Did you know that God was pursuing you long before you were born? Just think about that. I was a physics major in college. I'll tell a couple stories about myself today. This will be the first one. I was a physics major, and I always enjoyed looking at the night sky and thinking about the provision that God made for us as a father long before we were here. If you talk to physicists, they'll tell you that the sun is the closest star. It's 8 light minutes away, which translates to 86 million miles or so. The next closest star is 4 light years away. Think about how far that is in comparison to 8 light minutes. That's the next closest star. The stars beyond that, there are those we can see that are about 13 billion light years away. That's sort of how we have a scope for how big the universe is. But it's not just how big the universe is, it's where we are in the universe. Our solar system is in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and it is perfectly located for us to be able to see the rest of the universe. And it's safe from radiation, it's safe from black holes, it's safe from all these crazy cosmic things that happen all around us. Think about God's love and provision for us as His children, how He pursued us for eternity. So this morning, we're going to look at a concept that can help us frame how we live and walk as a Christian. I'm calling this teaching pursuit. Let's turn to John chapter 4. We're going to start with God's part, and words do fail to describe how God has pursued us. So I'm just going to go to a couple verses. We could talk for hours about just God's pursuit of us. We'll get to our part later, how we can pursue God, how we can seek Him out in all that we do. And we're going to go over a couple of biblical examples, and then I'm going to close with a couple of personal examples as well. In John chapter 4, this is Jesus speaking, verse 23. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. End of verse, right? That's it?
No.
For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God first started with pursuing us. Christianity starts with God, what He did, what He accomplished through Christ. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been talking about a lot of spiritual things this weekend. We're going to continue doing that. But as we walk in our day-to-day lives, I just want to take the pressure off of you. Just as yesterday we saw with leadership, how we don't replace the position of God's authority. We don't replace the position of Christ's authority, that we just walk in between reconciling people back to God through Christ. That is our responsibility. Similarly, when we pursue God, similarly when we walk out and manifest God's power, we don't have to worry about having the right thing at the right time. Why? That's God's job. It's God's part in pursuing us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as He wills. Now, I'll spare you the boring Greek argument here, but based on the context and on the specific language of this verse, God is the one who apportions to each one individually. It's as God wills. It's as God directs. God decides what we need and when we need it. He can tell us what we need to do. He can show us what needs to happen. Our responsibility is not to sit here and think, okay, God, I need this now. God has it for you. It's ready. He's pursuing us. Let's stay here in 1 Corinthians. We'll turn to 14 here. So what is our response to this? God's the one leading. God's the one guiding. God's the one who provides for us. Our responsibility in turn is to pursue Him. It's to seek His will. And we do that with all of our strength, all of our ability, all of our desire, with our whole lives, we seek Him. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Verse 12 says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. This is our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to think down the road and worry about, oh man, what if I need this tomorrow? What if I need that in a week? What if I need this in 2 months? What if my family needs something in a year or two? That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to seek God, to earnestly desire to edify the church, to strive after the spiritual things that God wants us to have in our lives. That's our responsibility. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here's another familiar verse, but there's a lot of depth here lying underneath the surface. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, when I was growing up and I read this verse, I thought, oh, you know, if I live a good little godly life, do the best I can, you know, God's going to take care of me. And yeah, that's part of it. And we're not going to get into all the ins and outs of the kingdom of God this weekend. To be honest with you, I couldn't tell you all the ins and outs of the kingdom of God. I don't know many people that could tell you all the ins and outs of what the kingdom of God really means, the fullness of it. It's a huge thing. But I can tell you, if you do a study of kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven in the Gospels, and you see how it progresses through the Gospels, you see how it comes up in the Acts and the Epistles, here are a couple of things you're going to see. You're going to see healings. You're going to see spirits being cast out. You're going to see lepers cleansed, the dead raised. You're going to see the gospel being taught, people being ministered to. You're going to see the right things being said at the right time. You're going to see all those things and more. The kingdom of God is God's eternity that He has planned for us. All the goodness, all the grace, all the love, all the mercy, all that power that comes with it, breaking into our lives now. God doesn't want you to wait until eternity to get everything all fixed up and patched up. He wants you to experience Him now. And bringing the kingdom of God is part of that. Now, I don't want it to say it's just a lofty thing, as my wife said yesterday in her teaching. It's discipling kids to Christ. It's taking care of someone's heart when they're lonely, when they need someone. Bringing the kingdom to someone doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be casting out a spirit or healing someone. That is definitely involved. You see it in the Gospels. You see it in Acts. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I'm also not trying to minimize the transformative power of Christ in our lives. And that can be as big or as small as you want to make it. It's small on the grand scheme of things. Maybe sometimes we feel small, but it's big to God. And that's the amazing thing about God. It's not that God cares just about the big things. It's that God cares about the little things, taking care of little details. That's how we know that God is so great. Later in Matthew chapter 7, we heard a song about this morning. Verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For some people, everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. That's our responsibility. We're the ones who ask, we're the ones who seek, we're the ones who knock. If we seek, we will find. Now, we've been all comfy cozy to this point. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. Because sometimes seeking God leads us to an uncomfortable place. And what I love about Jonah is that Jonah was not afraid that he wouldn't be successful. Moses was, but that was not Jonah's problem. Jonah was not concerned that God wasn't going to be with him or that his words wouldn't be heeded. Jonah wasn't concerned about any of those things. Jonah was concerned he was going to have God's power. Jonah was called by God to go to a foreign nation, to go to Nineveh, to Assyria. And Jonah did not want God to judge Israel through Assyria. He did not want God to prosper a foreign nation at the expense of his people. So when God said, go, Jonah said, uh-uh. Not because he didn't think it was going to happen. He thought it was going to happen. And he didn't want the repercussions of that. Going to Nineveh was uncomfortable for Jonah. It didn't fit his worldview. It did not fit what he thought God should be doing in the world. He thought God should be protecting Israel. But that's not what God wanted Jonah to do. Let's read the first three verses of Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Misguided, huh? You think you can go the opposite direction of Nineveh, get as far away from Nineveh as you can, you're going to escape God? Well, as many of us know, the story doesn't end there. In the rest of chapter 1, it leads to how Jonah, that boat got into a storm. Eventually, the lot fell on Jonah. Jonah described what was going on. He said, this is my God doing this. He said, just kick me out the boat. You guys will be fine. He did it. Whale swallowed him up. Jonah chapter 2 describes the prayer that Jonah says. Jonah chapter 3 describes how Nineveh repented immediately when Jonah went there. Jonah got back to land. He got spit up. He starts heading, making his way, journeying there. He preaches. Immediately they respond the way that God wanted them to. God does not want to kill the unrighteous. He never wanted them to die. Even in the Old Testament, he did not want the unrighteous to die. He wanted to protect them, give them a chance for mercy and forgiveness. And that's what he did. Jonah 4 relates how God taught Jonah about his mercy, how God unveiled himself to Jonah more fully. And that's sort of what I'm getting at here. Sometimes God leads us in places where we feel uncomfortable, places we don't want to go. But when we go, when we seek him, when we pursue God's will, he's able to unveil more of himself to us. Amen. That's what he wants. But that takes pursuing him sometimes beyond our comfort zones. Yeah. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Tell you what, here's a record where this doesn't happen. I don't know if we're sitting in this room together. We'll never know. But the word eventually had to make its way to the Gentiles. And to do that, it had to be a Hebrew that would do that. Those are the ones who received Christ first. In Acts chapter 10, I'm not going to read the whole record. It's a wonderful one. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with it. But God called Peter to do something that he was not comfortable with. But God prepared him for it. He gave him exactly what he needed every step along the way. Peter didn't have to worry about a thing. We're just going to read some of the middle verses here. Acts chapter 10, verse 17. So Peter has just received this amazing vision from God. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who is called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he, Peter, invited them, the Gentiles, in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. God showed him what he needed to see. He told him what he needed to hear. Peter's responsibility was to do what?
Go.
Pursue God. Go someplace uncomfortable. Just bringing them into his house was a violation of the law. Going with them and accompanying with them was a violation of the law. But Peter saw enough at this point to know he just needed to pursue God. God would take care of him. And guess what? By the end of this record, what happens? Now I know God is no respecter of persons. Because he pursued God, God was able to unveil more to him of who he is. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Sometimes God leads us in places that don't necessarily make sense to us. We have a plan for our lives. I don't know about you, I'm a planner. I like to plan things. That's why Brett asked me to be his adult supervision. Because he knew this about me and about my wife, that we like planning things. We had plans, you know, we like to lay things out, right? Paul and his companions, they had some similar thoughts at times. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. You see, they were looking at the map and saying, hey, look, we've done this. We were forbidden to go there, so we're going to do this next. We're going to do this following that. They had a progression. They had a plan. And if you look at a map, it makes sense. Trust me. You can look it up, too, if you want. You don't have to trust me. Right? We're going to see what happens with their plans. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, he consulted his map, right? No. Immediately, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, God called them to sort of rearrange their travel itinerary. So sometimes God leads us in places and we have to pursue him in ways that don't make logical sense to us at the time. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said that he had not already attained perfection, so he strove toward the goal. Look, if Paul hadn't attained perfection by the time he wrote Philippians 3, I know I haven't attained perfection yet, right? So we strive toward the goal. That is our responsibility. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. You see, God, as our Father, wants us to know more about him. Wants us to experience more of his goodness, more of his grace in our lives. And so that's why we have to pursue him. That's why we have to follow his lead. And Paul words it this way in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. This is a command. We are to obey this. And what I love about this is, we talked about the king yesterday, like I mentioned, and certainly obeying the king is a natural part of that relationship. But don't children obey their parents too? Isn't that part of that relationship as well? Just ask Sean Strickland about that afterwards. I had a great conversation with him. So I want to tell a couple stories about myself now. So recently I've seen the value of pursuing God in ways I didn't think of before, and I have two examples of that. The first is my wife and I, as I mentioned, we're planners. We had a plan for our life. We had laid everything out, how we were going to serve God, how we were going to minister to God's people. And we were right on that path, doing everything we needed to do. We were checking off all the boxes, you know what I'm saying? We were doing everything right. All of a sudden, there was a wrench thrown in that plan. I'm not going to get into the details of that. But the dream that I had since I was in high school was disrupted. The life that I had planned out for myself for over 10 years. It was gone. Like that. And at first I was mad at God. But we wouldn't be here in this room right now if not for that. And some of you, I know, are in the same boat as we. So pursuing God led to something bigger for my life. It led to something greater for my life. But it didn't look like that at first. That's my point. Now, a more lighthearted example here. So those of you that know me really well know that I love getting out the books, studying the Bible, researching things. That's where I've been comfortable for a long time, seeking God. That's where I seek God. And when people would ask me, how do you seek God? I would say, I get out the books, man. I hit it hard. Right? Some of you, I know, are like that too, right? But some of you are not like that. That's fine. Some of you don't like studying the Greek, don't like studying the Hebrew, don't like getting the books out. You like reading your Bible. You like praying. You like doing other things. Maybe praise is your thing, right? You have other ways of seeking God, right? My point to you is this. Don't stop with how you're comfortable pursuing God. I saw this recently. I had the thought recently, you know, you should develop your praise life more. And I'm like, okay. So I'll be in the car sometimes now and I'll have Christian music on, whatever. And I'll be praying in tongues or I'll be singing along. And you know, there are moments when I'm just so thankful. And I feel God's presence just as much as when I'm studying the Bible. I'd never experienced that until like a year ago. Some of you are like, yeah, man, join the club. I've been doing it for years. But it took me that distance, it took me that time, that space to pursue Him in a different way, to see Him in a different light, to allow Him to unveil a different aspect of Himself to me. We cannot stop pursuing God where we are comfortable. We cannot stop pursuing God where we have pursued Him before. We have to go to Nineveh. We have to go to the Gentiles. We have to push ourselves. That's what it takes. Because God is an infinite God. How many of us are going to understand Him fully in this lifetime? Show of hands. All right. So that means there's more to learn, right? And that's how we can do it. We can seek God in every way that we can. If so be that we can find Him, right? I think about, you know, my dad's here, my son's here. If my dad treated me the way I treat my son, you guys would look really strangely at us. Him kissing me on the cheek, him trying to lift me up, throw me in the air, right? Similarly, if I went to my dad the way that my son comes to me and try to get him to tickle me, try to get him to play hide and seek with me, right? That'd be sort of strange, wouldn't it? But at one point, that was my relationship with my dad. That is how I related to him. You know, when my dad came home from work sometimes, we had a small plastic basketball hoop. I loved playing basketball growing up. He would sit in his chair and I would like a dog, retrieve it. And he would just toss the ball without even looking. You know, he was just like, as long as it keeps him running, keeps him happy, I'm doing it, right? Do you think I'd do that to my dad anymore? No. I might encourage him to work out, you know, but I'm not doing it that way. Relationships should develop. Relationships should change. And I'm not saying, look, I'm not giving up the research books, okay? I'm just telling you that right now. I'm not giving them up. I'm also not giving up praising in the car. But I want to add to that. I want to develop more. I want to see more of God in my life. You know, Christian life is about God's pursuit of us eternally, how he planned things out, how he has prepared things for us, how he has always has the power that we need right there. Our job is simple. We pursue him in as many ways as we can with our whole hearts. We got to pursue God. Amen. I love you all. Thank you.